Money Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, June, I don't know, June 3rd? Whatever. It's Casual Friday, folks. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Oh, my God, is today jam-packed. What is going on? What is George Soros doing? Mainlining money into this operation? Today on the program, Cliff Schechter will be joining us. Robert Kennedy Jr. joining us. It's a pre-tape. Still joining us. And Chris Rosen will be joining us. Will it be his last time on the Majority Report? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's going to be ugly, folks. Almost as ugly as these job numbers and the sound of the air conditioning units outside the window. To discuss with me these ugly job numbers and just the ugly news in general, on the phone from the heartland, from America, from the heartland of America, Cliff Schechter. Cliff,
hello,
are you there?
Sammy.
Hi, Cliff.
I'm here, man. How are you?
Good. Are you in...
Not only am I in the heartland, I'm in my car, which is the only thing that we know how to do in the heartland.
What do you do? What are you, stopped at a rest stop?
What did you say?
Are you stopped at a rest stop?
Yeah, well, you know, you can get some good action here. It's $10 a reach around, so,
Gosh. Casual Friday.
I know. I'm totally taking advantage of Casual Friday. No, I am, I was at a meeting, and I was on the way back, and I realized I wasn't going to make it, but I cannot miss my Majority Report fix.
Well, there you go, folks. Look at the level of dedication, Cliff Schechter, and there are thousands of you who receive this level of dedication. Cliff is sitting here risking his life to comment on the news on Casual Friday. And some of these people won't even pay 50 cents a day. 50 cents a day, that's what we're asking of our members. Thousands upon thousands are listening to Cliff Schechter risk his life, and they won't even shell out 50 cents a day. You can become a member today at majority.fm. Just do it!
I would go so far as to say that if I can sit outside of a Chick-fil-A for like a half hour or 45 minutes to be here, you can get 50 cents a day.
Yes, and by you don't mean me.
By you, no, you don't need to give any money. You're actually the talent, as far as I can tell.
Those other people.
The other people out there should definitely, and they should all follow me on Twitter, too, because of my level of dedication.
That's right, @Cliff Schechter. You could just search on Twitter, Cliff Schechter.
That's right.
And
I need to catch up to Sam, and I only have about 15,000 more followers to go. So
well, I think we all know the way that you can do that in these days. How you boost your Twitter following?
I send out a nice large picture of my junk.
There you go. You get all the junk purveyors. I haven't really been paying attention to that story that much. The one thing, and this is all I want to comment about. On my Twitter feed today, I have reporting that the unemployment rate has jumped up to 9.1%, that the number of jobs added is astronomically low. We'll get into this in a minute. I mean, real serious issues that we're going to be our Treasury bonds could be downgraded because the Republicans are playing this game of chicken with the debt ceiling. And then I've got a couple of people who think that they're Dick Tracy, forgive the pun, and are spending all this time tracking down this stupid story about Anthony Weiner's Twitter account. And the juxtaposition, I actually saw somebody who at Mediate who wrote a story and breaking Andrew Breitbart not responsible for this hoax. I mean, it's like the world is turned upside down.
Right. I mean, obviously, in between the cocaine abuse and the serial masturbation, it's tough for Andrew Breitbart to fit much else into his schedule. But, oh, by the way, that was also not intended as a factual statement. So don't even try and do it. It's amazing to me. These are the moments when I sit here and I say, I think bread and circuses, and I think, and God, it scares me because I think I'm actually, for a very, like, completely different reasons, almost echoing what Rand Paul used to say, where we compare us to Rome. And he thinks we're going downhill because, you know, we've turned communist.
Right.
I think we're going downhill because, literally, as you just said, unemployment is back solidly in the nines. And I didn't see the job report this morning because I had to run out for meetings. But if it's anything less than 150,000, you know, created, that means we didn't even create enough jobs to keep up with, the people out there looking for work. I mean, you need to do that just to remain at stasis. And I'm not an economist, and I even know that.
Well, here's the way that Politico's Monday Morning laid out the job numbers in anticipation, just sort of like generically speaking, just sort of implying what each number is going to be. 200K plus would be a big win for Obama because it would be a clear signal the economy is doing fine in terms of like headed in the right direction. 150,000 to 200K would be pretty decent number indicating that the economy is still basically on track despite oil prices and other technical factors. 100 to 150.
Natural disasters.
Right. 100 to 150. Well, the odd thing about the natural disasters is that that actually adds some stimulus to the economy after the effect because there's a lot of rebuilding. But 100 to 150,000 weak numbers makes Obama's case tougher. In Ohio, there you are sitting out in front of a chicken shop in Ohio. And more reliant on the argument that things could be worse and the current soft patch could ease in the second half of the year. Zero to 100 and that. Oh, we lost him. I'm sorry. Somehow we lost you. Are you there?
I know. I'm here. I think it's the Chick-fil-A people coming out here trying to.
Yeah, they're jamming your phone signals. Well, I was just saying that 150 to 200 would be a pretty decent number. 100 to 150 would be a weak number. Zero to 100K is disaster. Markets could tank on this kind of number. The losses would be mitigated by the hope of Fed doing more easing. In other words, even the market knows you've got to flood the economy with more money. It doesn't matter where it comes from. And
right.
So here's what the numbers were. 83,000 new private jobs. Remember, jobs report is always a combination between public jobs created and private jobs. 83,000 new private jobs, but with our austerity, and by that I mean the Build America Bonds programs pulled out from the rug, we have already spending cuts on a federal level, we have spending cuts on a city level, a state level, county level. 29,000 public sector jobs went away, so we are following this prescription of austerity and what the Republicans say, cut government. So we have a total of 54,000 new net jobs.
That is utterly terrible. And again, all you know, I don't want to sit here and go off on Obama, but I don't know who these morons are that he's listened to this entire time.
Yes, you do.
Followed their prescription.
You know who they are.
Well, I know the main guys, the guys that are in the spotlight. But I don't know all the ones behind the scenes, and it scares me that some of them may be the same people that are giving Republicans advice. And actually, I think we know that. The Geithners and the Summers, and we know all of them. But it's just astonishing. I mean, it's astonishing what this guy came in with, and where we're now sitting, and what he could have done. And you know, he's going to imperil his reelection. I mean, I know the numbers are looking very good right now, But just, you know, we're, from what I've read, we're about to go into a second, into a double dip housing crash. You know, it's yet another one.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't understand. So he wants all the inside Washington guys to write what a wonderful guy he is because he's taking on entitlements, and he won't take that off the table even after what happened in New York 26. But none of that matters if you find a way to lose the presidency that should be yours. You know, and even if it's not compassion for jobless people, which it should be, by the way, but if it's just your own political skin, what are you doing?
Well, I think,
mean, seriously,
I think at the end of the day, what we have to really sort of realize is that there was a healthy dose of total incompetence because of a refusal to acknowledge past mistakes, coupled with a healthy dose of not giving a shit about unemployment.
Yeah, and letting the right, as always, like I did with the anti-healthcare bill, Tea Party, not letting them take over the debate, making it so that deficits were something we were suddenly obsessed about. You know, we never talked about them during the Bush years when he blew them out of the universe from a surplus, but suddenly it's okay to be obsessed with all that crap and sit here and harp on it constantly. When meanwhile, you know, look at what's going on. People aren't getting jobs. Big fat governors are taking helicopters in our bill.
Hold on for 1 second. Oh God. My private helicopter is just flying by. And that's the thing, is I've got my show rigged. When the word that you just said is spoken on this show, a private DM Twitter message goes out to my pilot, and he swoops by to see if I want to ride home.
Seems fair. I mean, you have a daughter, you know, and I've got kids, and I mean, just because we work, you know, why should we have to miss anything they do?
Right.
I mean, just like Christie, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, he wants to be governor, but he also has to beat every baseball game. So now, from now on, when I'm traveling on business and my kid has his T-ball games Thursday nights, I expect a helicopter to show up and to fly me back from, I don't care if it's Vegas or New York or wherever I am, I need to get back here because obviously I'm able to do that. Because we're all able to do that. That's belt tightening. I guess when you hear someone like Chris Christie use the term belt tightening, you should sort of immediately question whether there's any understanding of what tightening a belt is coming from that man.
Well, you know, the part about that story, and I certainly have talked about it this week, but the part about that story is like, you know, if the guy's coming from some type of like emergency state function and had promised his kid he was going to be at his game, you know, that's one thing. But the idea that you needed helicopters so he could get back to talk to people who are trying to draft him into the presidential race in 2012 who are fundraisers,
right.
I mean, that's just beyond the pale.
Well, it's absurd. I mean, you're cutting health care for women and kids, and you're doing everything you're doing. You're saying, talking about how we have to tighten our belts, but you, because you chose to run for governor, nobody made you. So now that you have to actually do the job of being governor, and you have to miss a couple of your kids' games here and there, and you get to get on a helicopter like the rest of us don't do, and you have to charge us for it? I mean, it just shows the utter hypocrisy. And as you point out, then they go meet with a bunch of big Republican funders. And my personal favorite part of the story is which you may have seen, of course, is when he flew his helicopter there, he had a state car sitting there because he couldn't walk 100 yards. He literally had we paid for a car to be sitting there, not to mention some police and others to protect him.
Yeah.
But we paid for a car because he couldn't walk 100 yards. He had to have a limo take him 100 yards.
Well, I think what I want to know is why isn't anybody asking the question? Has anybody ever seen Chris Christie walk 100 yards?
I'd like to know.
Maybe he doesn't. I mean, maybe he's not capable of it.
No, but I mean, isn't he capable of flipping the switch and turning into a human hot air balloon? He looks like it.
What they really
Couldn't
should
he
do.
Floated it, there?
I think it's time that he gets one of those scooters from Medicare. Give him one of them electric scooters and let him ride that. I mean,
yeah. I'm totally good with that. Or he can do the old Fred Thompson golf cart bit.
There you go.
You know, while he's running, you know, that was a good thing. I think that should
a flatbed, like one of those golf carts with a flatbed on the back. What
exactly?
I think the presidential race is about to get a lot more fun. Michelle Bachmann entering the race.
It's such awesomeness because you can watch the GOP establishment types literally pooping their pants. You just don't know at one moment to another what that crazy woman's going to say. And so I think it's good for all of us. That's why I would hope Palin would get in, even though I don't think she will. She'll run a reality show campaign right, where she pretends she's going to run. It's actually the perfect formula. She'll pretend she's going to run for a while, so the media starts paying attention to her again, because God forbid they stop for a few months. And then what she'll do is then she'll say that the mean media ruined her candidacy and she'll be a victim again. When she doesn't end up entering the race, she won't be able to for some reason or another. Just like she could no longer be governor of Alaska. Maybe people will be, there'll be a couple ethics charges or something. She'll find a way.
Well,
but those two could just debate each other and just say crazy upon crazy stuff. I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Well, the real question is, if Michelle Bachmann enters the race, will she be able to match the Cain train? And you know what I mean by the Cain train. Of course, I'm talking about Herman Cain's now famous music video endorsing him. Let's listen to that right now.
Excellent. Seems like things are kind of upside down. Joker, you son, want to turn around Herman Cain. He's done it before, he can do it again. This train's coming to town like a hurricane. Herman Cain.
Herman Cain. Get on board the Herman Cain train.
Lord.
Doesn't that sound exactly like the insane music videos that were written about Sarah Palin?
Yes. Who performs that, Jim?
Oh, I did that one.
You put together that Herman Cain video?
No. Of course I didn't. No, somebody else did. I have no idea who.
But it's not like some crazy famous person like Victoria Jackson or John Voight. It's just a random. Online. I mean, it's a crazy person, just not a famous crazy person.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy person, but I don't know if they're famous yet. They should be, obviously. I mean, who's not on board the Herman Cain train? What?
No, with talent like that, I mean, there's no doubt. I like the part where they said, if I heard it correctly, he did it before.
Yeah, he did it
before. Because, there's nothing like making pizza before to say you can be president now.
Yeah, he made a pizza pie before.
Right. So, I mean, to me...
I don't know. It's going to be interesting because, Herman Cain was the perfect stalking horse to sort of like neutralize the Tea Party for a while. You know, basically have them chasing down a wormhole where they could get in maybe like a Pawlenty or a Mitt Romney. I mean, I have no idea who the Republicans want. And frankly, the only important element of this is 9.1 unemployment. And... this is headed in the wrong direction. I guess it remains to be seen whether or not the Obama administration has the ability or the wherewithal. There are things they could do in terms of like mortgage modification that they don't need permission from the Congress to do at this point.
Yep.
That they're really going to have to do something because otherwise, like you said, the election's in peril for them.
Yeah, no, they could lose. I mean, if they don't realize that. Remember, as much as I don't want to put Osama bin Laden in the same place as Iraq, but because it's a different story. Osama bin Laden obviously is a bigger deal for what he did to us. But with that said, you start feeling a little bit like George Bush the First. You did the big foreign policy thing, but you sat there and watched the economy go to crap and didn't do anything about it. And there's a price to be eventually. There's a price to be paid for that. If he thinks he's just going to be able to run on that. I mean, they never defended their health care bill. They never told people what it was about. So that's no longer an asset, even though it's giving in the end, even though it's a very flawed bill and should be about 100% better. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are going to get subsidies and get health care because of this thing. A lot of kids that can stay on their parents' health care. Pre-existing conditions, being eliminated is a way to keep people off. There's good aspects of it, but because these guys, sat there the whole summer and let the right redefine, 2 summers ago, let them redefine what this thing was about. Nobody knows any of the good things it does. They look at it; they all think it's a government takeover of healthcare,
right.
Which is kind of hysterical. It wasn't so pathetic.
And the big problem was too is that he went out there and he got exactly the stimulus he wanted. Had he said, "I want a bigger stimulus. We need a bigger stimulus, but we can't get it through Congress," at least he would have an arrow in his quiver at this point to say, "I said that we needed a bigger stimulus. We need more money. I mean, the notion that Republicans are going to come out and say now that we need more deregulation or we need to really lock in the tax cuts, that's why job numbers are going south, is laughable. We had 200,000 jobs created over the past 3 or 4 months. This is clearly a situation where we went to the gas station, we filled up the car, but we didn't put it all the way to F. You know, we filled the tank up halfway, and now we've gone down the road and the car is sputtering. And that's that is exactly the situation we look at.
No, and I actually, you know, I'm glad you brought up the stimulus, because I always go back to that, because to me that was the cardinal sin. That is what set the tone for the administration. That is what said, you know, I will compromise. I'll start where the Republicans start. You know, then I will let them all drop out, and I'll have almost none of them vote for it, but I'll keep all the tax cuts in that they wanted originally, even though only three of them are voting for it. And I'll pass something that most people that have a clue about this stuff, including Elizabeth Warren and Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz, you know, those last two got a couple of Nobel Prize winners, nothing much, who say that we need at least a $1.3 trillion stimulus. You know, that's why you start off demanding a $2 trillion stimulus and you end up down at that. Just the way George Bush started off demanding a much larger tax cut, and what did he end up down at? $1.35 trillion? So we couldn't even get the stimulus that he got in tax cuts. And how did he do it? And, you know, from a guy that came in and basically lost the election in 2000. And that's where we're sitting right now. Obama didn't barnstorm these guys' states and make them vote for it.
Yep. All right. Well, Cliff Schechter, thanks for joining us. We got to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll be talking to Bobby Kennedy on a documentary he's in. Cliff, we will talk to you next week. Getting ready for Netroots Nation.
I'm excited, man. We're partying there.
We're going to party there? You're going to sit down? You're going to get up a little bit early on Friday morning?
Well, I'm doing the morning show there with Liz.
Oh,
and,
so you're
going to
be already... You're going to be already... Oh, man, I hope this doesn't conflict.
No, but I'll do your show. I'll be doing your show on Friday, too, man. I'll double dip. We'll work it out.
Sounds good. All right, folks.
Talk to you soon, bro.
Take it easy. We got to take a break. When we come back, Robert Kennedy Jr. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Coming up now, my interview with Bobby Kennedy. I spoke to him, I guess it was yesterday, the day before, about his movie. Well, you'll listen. This movie, I got to tell you, sounds awesome. And after we hear about this awesome movie, then we'll go to that other guy from MovieLine.com. And, you know, today maybe we'll have a post show, but maybe we'll give it to everybody for free. We'll do a Freebie Friday. How's that sound? All right, here's that interview now with Robert Kennedy Jr. So, Bobby, welcome to the program. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you here. We usually get to talk on the weekends on Ring of Fire, but thank you for coming on the Majority Report.
Well, it's my pleasure, Sam.
So I want to hear about this film, The Last Mountain. What was your involvement in the film? What is the film about?
Well, I had really almost nothing to do with the creation of the film, so I can vouch for it that it's a beautiful film and it's an important one. But it was taken originally from a chapter of my book, Crimes Against Nature, but then it morphed into its own story, and it's the story of a group of people in an Appalachian mining community who have risen up to confront the mining industry that's destroying their rivers, their streams, their communities, their health, and their livelihoods. And they've been extraordinarily successful. It's now one of the greatest, largest scale civil disobedience in American history. There were 600 people at the original Selma March. Well, there's already been 2,500 people arrested in Coal Mountain, West Virginia. defending or trying to defend is one of the last mountains left in West Virginia that hasn't been blown up by Massey Energy and its cronies in the coal industry.
Massey's certainly been in the news as of late. I mean, in addition to the findings of their incredible negligence in the big mining disaster from a year or so ago, but they've also recently been one of their mines have been shut down because of the stunning amount of violations that have been found there.
Well, Massey is a criminal enterprise, and actually, you know, I debated Don Blankenship, who is the CEO, who just stepped down as CEO, incidentally, having earned $190 million in salaries and bonuses over the past few years for breaking virtually all the union mines in West Virginia, all of Massey's mines, and almost, you know, more than half the mines in the state, what's left. And really destroying mining as an occupation in the state. When my father was fighting strip mining in the state back in the 60s, there was 151,000 unionized mine workers in West Virginia digging coal out of tunnels in the ground. Today, thanks to Massey's merciless, systematic, and deliberate economic strategy, which is to get rid of miners and replace them with explosives and machines, there are fewer than 15,000 miners left in the state. So 9 out of every 10 jobs has disappeared. And only half of those are unionized because the industry isn't. So you're people who've, you know, worked for 20, 30 years and they're getting $15 an hour while Don Blankenship gets $190 million. To answer your question, I debated Don Blankenship last year on television in West Virginia, and I confronted him with the fact that his company has reported 65,000 Clean Water Act violations over the previous 5 years. Each one of those, you know, is a potential fine of $31,000, but they paid nothing to the state. They just did it and got away with it. They also had tens of thousands of violations of the labor laws, of health and mine safety laws and other environmental laws. And I said to him, and he didn't deny this, he admits it. I said to him, is it possible for your company to make a profit without violating the law? And he said, no, it's not. So they acknowledge that they're a criminal enterprise. Their business plan is to break the law, therefore, and then get away with it. And they do that by subverting democracy, by dismantling virtually all of the instrumentalities of democracy in the state of West Virginia. They destroy democracy at the local level. They, you know, your ability to protect your land from, if you're a landowner, your property rights are destroyed. Somebody can drop boulders and poison dust and destroy your well and your streams and the health of your family. There's nothing you can do about it. Zoning laws and planning laws and building laws have been subverted so that nobody can participate in decisions that determine the destinies of their communities. The agencies that are supposed to protect Americans from pollution, and in the state of West Virginia, it would be the West Virginia DEP, have been captured by the industry. So they're just, as you know, the West Virginia DEP is essentially a sock puppet for the mining industry, and then virtually every, and this film shows it, how virtually every politician in the state, Republican or Democrat, has been corrupted by the industry, and the judiciary is famous for being corrupted by the coal industry. And that's what, you know, that's what you get when you see large-scale environmental destruction. And if you, you know, Sam, if you try to destroy 100 feet, the fill, 100 feet of a Hudson River stream, we would put you in jail, I guarantee you. But, or if you try to blow up a mountain in the Berkshires or the Catskills, yeah, it probably wouldn't even be jailed. You'd be put in a place for the criminally insane. You know, people would just think, or even in states like Utah or Colorado and California, you can't just blow up a mountain. But in West Virginia, over the past 10 years, they've blown up the 500 biggest mountains in West Virginia. They have flattened an area of land larger than the state of Delaware, of the Appalachian Mountains. They've buried, according to EPA, 2,500 miles of rivers and streams. It's all illegal, and yet they've gotten away with it.
And so when we hear the fiction of coal as a cheap energy source, what we're really hearing is that they have buried the cost of coal in the cost of health for kids who have asthma, cost for labor, cost for the environment, all these costs that society bears, but is not directly related to that transaction of buying the coal so that the,
right, they
the
don't
shareholders
have
essentially
it.
Get the profits for it.
That's right. And, you know, Paul Epstein from Harvard just did a peer-reviewed study on the cost of coal to the American health system. And what his study concluded was that the cost of coal to the American people, just the health care costs and, you know, health injuries, amounts to $345 billion every year. So this could pay for the Obama health care plan 10 times over. If you just got rid of coal emissions and replaced them with clean energy.
So, Bobby, I want to turn, you know, to the story of basically how people fought back against this scourge and are fighting back. Specifically, I'm talking about this protest you're going to engage in at Blair Mountain. Where is Blair Mountain and what's happening?
Well, Blair, there's a number of us who are participating in a march and protest, including many of my children and many of my nieces and nephews. There's probably 15 Kennedy kids, but there are people from all over the country who are coming to West Virginia on June 6th to save one of the last mountains in the state, which is called Blair Mountain. Blair Mountain is significant, Sam, because it is the Bethlehem of the Union movement in America. In 1921, West Virginia was essentially the entire coal counties of West Virginia were a company town. The mining industry owned the homes, they owned the shops, they owned the mines, the only source of economic productivity in that part of the state. They also owned the local sheriffs because they needed the sheriffs to maintain their control over the democracy and to continue their flow of profits. They owned the homes. They rented them to the miners or leased them to the miners. But if a miner was injured, they needed to evict the family from the home, and the sheriffs had that job. The sheriffs also had the job of making sure that troublemaking union organizers were kept out of the coal fields, so they would arrest them, beat them, kill them, or send them on their way and make sure that they didn't come into the counties. There was one sheriff who refused to be purchased, and his name was Sid Hatfield, and he was actually a member of the famous Hatfield-McCoy family. But he was on the side of the miners, and he actually started putting mine operators in jail for mistreating the miners and for for beating them, for hiring Pinkertons and scabs to beat them, and thugs. And he knew he was going to be killed. He was invited for a parlay by some other sheriffs who were, you know, who were toadies to the industry and by representatives of the industry to the neighboring county. He knew he was going to be murdered, and he was begged by local people not to go because he was beloved. But he went anyway, and sure enough, he was stripped of his weapons and then executed in broad daylight on the courthouse steps. This caused one of the greatest labor riots in American history. 10,000 miners converged from all over the state on Blair Mountain. They actually hijacked three trains with friendly train engineers to carry miners from all over the state to Blair Mountain to confront the industry. They were met there by Pinkertons with Gatling guns in pillboxes, and they were gunned down. They were also – Warren Harding, who was then president, was also in the pocket of the coal industry, and he allowed directed the United States Air Force to drop bombs on the miners, including poison gas bombs. This was right after World War I. And killed many, many of the miners and broke up the battle. But it became an organizing force for the union movement, particularly United Mine Workers, and the whole union movement across the country. Mother Jones was there, and all the great union organizers had come to the battle. And it was the beginning of the union movement in many ways in the United States. And this battlefield, Blair Mountain, is known as the Gettysburg of union movement in our country. Well, Massey Energy, partially for profits and partially for the symbolism of the act, has announced recently that it is going to blow up Blair Mountain and flatten it to the ground. So people, the United Mine Workers, has gotten together with the environmental groups like Sierra Club and NRDC to organize a march on Blair Mountain. And we're inviting all of your listeners to come to Blair Mountain on June 6th, or the day of the march, the final day of the march, is June 11th. We're going to camp out at the bottom of the mountain on the evening of June 10th. The movie Last Mountain is going to be screened there. There's going to be entertainment and a rally. And then the following morning, we're going to march up Blair Mountain. Some of the protesters who have decided to will probably be arrested. Other ones will just march and just join in the protest, a silent, peaceful protest against the destruction of this extraordinary piece of American patrimony.
Is there a site where people can go to get more information?
Yeah, the site, Sam, is www.marchonblairmountain.com, or you can go to our site, to the film site, which is thelastmountainmovie.com.
But let me ask you one more question before you go, and I appreciate the time. But when that sheriff makes that decision to go to that meeting, where everyone seems to know that he is going there at great risk to his life, what do you think is behind the motivation for that guy at that time?
You know, West Virginians are a really tough, patriotic people. There's more Medal of Honor winners per capita from West Virginia than any other state. In every war, from the Revolution to the Civil War, they seem willing to put their lives onto the line for principle more than any other group of Americans. And I've read biographies of Sid Hadley, and they're, you know, riveting, riveting books about him. And I think that's just what he felt. He thought this was a principle, and that you stand on your principles. If you're a man, you stand on your principles and you live or die by them. And he knew who he was. He knew what he was doing was right. And I think he was prepared to make a great sacrifice for it. But it's, you know, he's one of the great, great, great unsung heroes of American history.
I mean, it's a fascinating story when you consider the level of sacrifice that, whether it's in our corporate media, whether it's our political leaders of the day, are not willing to make even a fraction of that type of sacrifice on any type of principle that would help their fellow citizens. It's incredibly impressive. And I've seen the trailer of the movie. It looks great. And hopefully maybe we can get some of our listeners to join you down in West Virginia in the next week.
I look forward to seeing them there. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Bobby, and thanks for everything you're doing.
Hey, thank you.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
That woman is an idiot.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Endless taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Right. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Christopher Rosen of movieline.com. Big shot senior editor, eh? Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob. Jimmy Reefer Cakes got to ask you, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get
how did you get that job indeed? In fact, how have you kept that job? In fact, will you keep all these jobs?
I am very good at these jobs.
Hold on for 1 second. I'm putting you on mute. I also want to say, folks, head to Dane101.com. There's looks like there may be some more protests happening in Wisconsin. And we'll have more of an update on that on Monday. So wait a second. Let me go back to this guy. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Sam, what's doing?
It's Chris Rosen, the senior editor of MovieLine.com. Chris, I want to read a couple of things to you. Last week, you may not be aware of this because I know that you don't listen to the program before you come on or do any work, it seems, period.
No. I do a lot of work.
Even within your own, even in the context of your own profession. But last week, at the beginning of the show, I said, if Rosen mentions Hangover 2, I don't know if I can continue this segment. And sure enough, you suggested, I don't know what the second movie you suggested me. The first movie was what? What did he suggest last week?
I think it was just a Hangover 2.
No, it wasn't. Please don't say that again.
Hangover 2.
And...
The Hangover.
Well, so maybe. It's been a struggle for me this week to decide what to do with this segment. I've gotten a lot of emails.
I'm sure very positive emails.
Michael writes, I'm not threatening my membership. I just want to give my opinion on why I and probably others view the Chris Rosen segment as unenjoyable.
Unenjoyable.
I expect a movie segment from a show like The Majority Report to actually give me a thoughtful movie to watch. I actually do enjoy movies like Anchorman, Toy Story, and The Other Guys. But those are blockbuster movies that I already know about. I would like a movie recommendation that is largely unknown or maybe before my time.
Well, that's how it's
just as an example, rather than recommend Hot Tub Time Machine, he could recommend Primer, no relation to any teabaggers. Both movies deal with time travel, but one had a large advertising budget. The other is a small. Do you know the movie Primer?
Yeah, I do.
No, you
I've
don't.
Never
That's
seen
a lie.
It. I do too. That's not that is true.
I'm not done reading the emails.
Ugh.
This is official notice to the Majority Report staff that if you cancel Chris Rosen, I will have to terminate my membership, since his segment is the only part of the show that doesn't make me want to slit my wrists. Seriously, the majority of the show topics are so frustrating, maddening, downright depressing that I actually enjoy the Chris Rosen segment.
Well, thank you.
I am starting a Chris Rosen campaign. All donations keep Chris Rosen campaign are tax deductible. This one is, I don't hate you, Sam, but would you consider not talking with music in the background so much? I hate your music, all of it, when it's on. I mute it until it's over, so I miss a lot of what you're saying. The thing about music is that certain melodies stick in the brain even though you don't want them, and your music, all of it, is that type.
I didn't realize this just turned into random mailbag segment.
Well,
and that's cool.
Susan writes in, I vote for Chris. Janet, I vote for Chris. Then Matt, if you're really thinking of replacing Chris Rosen, I want a spot on the short list. I may not have the credentials of a movie industry press release repeating mouthpiece website editor. But I have filmmaking background as well as a deep knowledge of film in general and what you might call progressive film specifically. Plus, I have a great bit on how Battlestar Galactica is the most important TV show ever.
Oh, fuck.
not just to the message or the
Jesus.
Theme. So, Chris.
Seems like there's a lot of, seems like I'm a big topic starter, it seems.
Yeah, you're controversial, if that's what you mean.
Sure.
Just
but I don't think it should be controversial to, you know, to try to tie in. I'm sorry I didn't suggest Primer for that person, but I don't remember ever suggesting Hot Tub Time Machine. But
you
let
did.
Me tell you about The Hangover.
Actually, you did.
Because
you did.
It's great. Oh, I did. Well, I like Hot Tub Time Machine, so I still would recommend it.
Well, all right. Well, listen. Why don't
that
you...
movie is a – let me just tell you. That movie obviously made much more money than Primer, yet that is still a cult classic in the making, The Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, you mean like
it didn't really
like
make
who's
a lot
the
of money.
Like a Who's the Caboose.
Right, like Who's the Caboose, perhaps.
Now, you haven't seen Primer, and you haven't seen Who's the Caboose. Well, you've seen Who's the Caboose.
I have seen Who's the Caboose.
Oh, but you haven't
talked
reviewed
about that at
I'm talking about reviewing them. Right. Now, you know, I was thinking, like, what can we do? What can we do so that I don't have to sacrifice my integrity? to allow you your...
There's no integrity here, Sam. I mean, I'm just
suggesting... Well, no, that is true. I think that's absolutely correct. That's part of the problem.
I did notice most of those positive Chris Rosen emails were from females.
That's true. I also did notice that most of them came from the same IP address.
No, but, that's not really relevant.
At least you're making an effort, Chris, which is
let me tell you,
more
let me tell
I
you, Sam. I've gotten a lot of at replies, you know, from and I hear the suggest some people are suggesting, or at least one person actually suggested saw Newmantown with Renee Zellweger and Harry Connick Jr. Moderately entertaining. I mean, I'm not the only one suggesting shitty movies to you.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying that was an
I'm saying that's the way you're going to justify this segment.
Yeah.
I'm not the only person suggesting shitty movies.
Yes, that is how I'm going to justify it. Everyone likes shitty movies sometimes. It can't all be Marwin Calls.
Right,
sometimes
but you didn't
hangover.
Even see Marwin Call.
But that doesn't
that's
matter.
My point. The only good movie you've ever recommended.
No, that's bullshit.
Which one that you haven't
I
seen?
I suggested you so many good movies. You just happen to harp on the ones that you don't like. Everyone loves Toy Story 3. That movie had 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating.
But, I mean, why do I need you to come on to tell me that everybody likes Toy
because
Story 3 that has 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating?
Because you've never seen it. That was the idea of the segment. You don't see movies. You don't go out. So I suggest things to you that you might have missed. It doesn't have to be some fucking diamond
like
in the rough.
Animated thing. I mean, the idea is that there's supposed to be some... I'm supposed to bring in an expert. I could bring in literally, I could bring off a moron
that's not
off
true.
The street to say,
oh,
like, here, here's Rotten Tomatoes. Tell me what gets 100% rating.
They would never have the rapport that you and I have. it's such a good back and forth.
Yeah, but the point is that there needs to be a purpose to this segment.
The
now,
purpose
I'm,
is to try to enlighten
I'm
you.
I'm trying to figure out how to do this. So somebody said, like, well, maybe... to retain your integrity, maybe you need Chris to just pay you to be on the show.
But that doesn't get
to the integrity of the bit. No, I've had multiple people send me emails saying
multiple
just have
people
him pay
from
you.
from the same IP address.
Now, I want to ask what you have for this week.
You're gonna shit on it like you always do.
Well, then, but why doesn't that raise the bar? That's the amazing thing here.
If you know that, then why even mention it?
Because this is how I work.
Someone actually emailed me and said, do you think it's possible? Well, I mean, I got some other ones too. I had somebody who actually said, is it possible that Chris Rosen has a learning disability?
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding.
Who said that?
I got emails saying, like, is it, you know, this may, like, sometimes I think it's
that.
Funny, but it seems to borderline on cruel. Chris doesn't seem to understand, like, what a movie review guy is supposed to do.
That's not true. It's not a movie review. You haven't seen the goddamn movies. How am I supposed to review them for you? I'm suggesting
what?
Movies.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's what all movie review people do. Wait a second. You only review movies that people have already seen?
No, I'm just saying the idea of this segment is to get you to see things that I think you would like. I'm making suggestions for you.
But you have to see them so you can suggest them.
No, I don't have to see them. I could know what Sam likes. I knew he would like Marwin Call. I read a lot about it. I didn't get to see it.
What do you mean you didn't get to see it? What does that mean?
Because I just didn't watch it
for Netflix.
What if that movie took a terrible twist halfway through?
Wait a second, you talk
because
like
I read all.
Well, I was going to get it, but then there was a horrible accident, and all the copies of the movie were burned.
No, I was going to watch it,
and
but then
never,
I could
you turn
watch
on your Netflix
and
watch
Recreation.
It in a second.
I was going to watch it, but then there was an episode of Parks and Recreation I wanted to watch again.
Unbelievable! All right.
Anyway, listen.
Wait, I have the solution.
Okay.
I think
okay.
of how we can continue this.
Yes. Okay.
Segment. But first, maybe we should hear your movie selections for this week. I'm hesitant to do it because I feel like it's like I'm saying to you, you're in a hole. I want you to stop digging.
Out.
Here's your shovel.
If you hang up on him, though, after he
right,
suggests
I won't
things,
have the
which,
opportunity.
Right, you won't.
All right, just tell
let
me.
Let me tell you what you got so far. I got two movies for you, one on Netflix, one on demand. On Netflix,
okay, so far you're doing well. You have the premise of the bit that we've been doing here for 6 months.
I'm glad I do. On demand, there's a movie called Ceremony. It was an indie movie. It came out earlier this year. It's not actually, I just checked, it's not one of those $6.99 ones. It looks like it's $4.99 on Time Warner. And it's from Max Winkler, who is Henry Winkler's son.
Which is probably the only reason why you know about it, right? I mean, you follow him on Twitter or something?
No, I don't follow him on Twitter.
What is it about? Ceremony. Sounds
ceremony. It's like an
sounds
indie movie.
Promising.
It's kind of like a Wes Anderson movie. The guy, the lead
Have
character
you seen this
is
movie?
A yes. The lead character is a, you know, a twee kind of nerdy, nebbishy guy, and he's going out, or he is in love with an older woman played by Uma Thurman, and she's getting married to a jerky actor, and he decides to go and crash the wedding. It was initially supposed to star Jesse Eisenberg, but he had to bail out because of Social Network. So this Michael, I don't even know how to say his name. I'm sorry, Michael Agronano is in it. He's been in a lot of things that you and have never seen, but he's like a younger actor. And it's fun. It's like a Wes Anderson type thing. I mean, it's a total ripoff of all those movies. So if you've seen those and like those, then you might like it.
Have you ever sold anything? Have you ever worked like in retail or something? Like,
no.
Yeah, this is a piece of garbage. But if you like garbage, you'll
I
like
did not
it.
Say it was. Do you think Wes Anderson movies are pieces of garbage?
No, but you're saying it's a total ripoff. I mean, why do
it's
I want to
see something that's completely... Every fucking movie is a total ripoff. That's the idea of movies. You think there's like five ideas
Jesus
out there.
Christ.
They're all the same.
Jesus Christ.
But that's not the log line for the movies.
Jesus.
No, let me look up the log
can't
line
believe.
For you.
From my perspective, I hope we never get rid of this segment because this is
can
all
we get
the
it? Can we
everywhere.
Frame that last quote? That's the point of movies, to rip off other movies?
Yes. That is the point of movies.
Oh,
they're all the same. It's the same five stories.
You know what I hear right now?
I
hear 1,000 keyboards typing emails just with just absolute shudder and outrage. What's the other movie? The Ceremony. Okay, what's the other movie?
Is it X-Men First Class?
No, it's not X-Men First Class. That's out in theaters today, but you know, you're not going to be able to see that. I'll suggest that one in a few months when it comes out on DVD.
Well, we're still not clear that you're going to be here in a few months.
In a few months, Sam, I will suggest that one for you, and you'll love it. But in the meantime, a new Woody Allen movie is out and expanding in theaters. I don't know if you've seen Midnight in Paris. It was out in limited release a couple weeks ago. It's been slowly expanding. I think it's going to hit like 100 theaters this week. Very fun movie. I don't want to spoil the twist, but it's a good one. Owen Wilson is, you know, a writer in Paris.
Wait,
and,
is this on Netflix?
No, I'm saying this is Midnight in Paris. I'm going to suggest on Netflix, there's a bunch of classic Woody Allen movies that you can watch for free that you probably haven't watched in a long time.
That's it?
No, I mean, I have them all here. You want me to list off? I would suggest watch Hannah and Her Sisters, even though that one's very popular. Also, Crimes and Misdemeanors, which is my favorite. Is also available for free on Instant Watch. And you just read some goddamn email that said, is you know, suggesting some classics that you might not have seen in a while. Those are two classic Woody Allen movies. Unfortunately, a lot of them aren't on demand or on Instant Watch, but,
you know, it
you
is
know,
Name Drop Friday, and I've told my story about meeting Woody Allen, correct?
Oh, I never
I auditioned for the one that the movie he did with Sean Penn, the, you know.
Oh, Sweet and Lowdown.
Sweet and Lowdown. I auditioned for that.
How was it?
Famous for these auditions being incredibly short.
Yes.
So I went up to some, like a residential hotel or something up on the Upper East Side. I can't remember. Beekman Arms on, like, Park Avenue or something. I don't know what it is. And you go in. It's like going to see, like, a shrink at one of these Upper West Side buildings or something like that. You go into the waiting room. Somebody, the receptionist says, you know that Woody's auditions are extremely short. And I said, I've heard that. I go in, I walk into the door, I look into his office. It's got shag rug. It looks like something out of like Sleeper. And he comes up and meets me essentially at the door. It was like two tiered. And so the casting director, who I knew, was standing up to the right. And I am just, I don't think I've ever been in awe. Maybe one or two people ever. It's the weirdest. It was the weirdest experience of my life to see Woody Allen.
What did he say to you?
He said, "Hi, Sam. It's nice to meet you. Juliet, I think her name was, says that you'd be perfect for a role." And I literally, it was like in slow motion. I'm just thinking, "Oh my God! I've seen this guy speak so many times before, but he's talking to me now." Even though I've seen him talk to me when I'm in a movie, he's actually, like, can see me. And and I said, I have to totally agree with her. And I don't know.
That was what you said to Woody Allen?
Yeah. And he said,
pretty
ballsy. I'm glad to hear that. And I didn't even know what the role was. So he knew I was joking. And he sort of laughed. And then he said something else. Well, it was really nice to meet you. and shook my hand, and that was basically
What did he
it.
Give you to read? Did he give you any
No, that was
to read?
It. That's the audition.
That was it.
He doesn't have people read.
He doesn't even give you anything to read.
Nope. Nope. I heard that he does this with everyone.
I can corroborate that because I read an article this week about a guy who got cast in Midnight in Paris, and it was a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Where he just went in and met Woody Allen. Woody Allen was like, "Uh-huh. All right, well, we're going to be shooting in Paris, you know, next month. So, see you then." Like that was it.
That was it. Yeah, I think he just gets a feeling, sees what they look like, and that's it. Which when I cast people that I don't know, that's more or less what I do. Now, be that as it may, Chris Rosen, it was Name Drop Friday, and that gave you a couple extra minutes. Now,
yes. We did it.
Here's what I think we're going to do. So that there is some measure of integrity to this segment.
Huh?
It was suggested to me on IM. I can't remember who suggested it. But what we're going to do is I am going to you don't have to pay me. In a way, I'm doing you a favor here.
Let me hear.
You, to continue this segment.
Yes.
Trying to build some suspense.
Yes, Seacrest.
You, what does that mean?
Have you ever watched American Idol?
No.
Then don't worry about it. The people in the audience listening will know what I mean.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
They will. I guarantee you. 100 million people watch American Idol. I guarantee you at least 3 people in your audience get it.
None.
Okay.
Zero.
Nobody.
Zero.
Nobody in your audience watches American Idol. Got it.
You
uh-huh.
must watch.
Yes.
The first episode, which is essentially a made-for-TV movie. I think it's about 90 minutes long.
Is this going to be Battlestar?
Battlestar Galactica.
Holy fuck. Come on.
And if you cannot come back next week and tell me...
Let me ask you a couple of things about this before I agree.
About this Battlestar Galactic episode, the next week we'll have Isabel Gillies wants a shot at this. This guy, Matthew. Maybe it'll be Doug Benson. Maybe.
Well, at least Doug Benson is, a legitimate... Doug Benson, who, by the way, suggested Unstoppable to you.
That's true.
And then you
That's
threw
true.
That in my
That's
face. True. Like, you suggested that shitty train movie.
That did actually
I didn't
happen.
Suggest that.
All right. Maybe it'll be somebody
but
else.
Anyway,
maybe
let me ask you something.
Maybe I'll get some
Battlestar. Am I able to watch it on Netflix?
Yes.
For free?
For free.
Because I'm not spending money on this.
I understand.
Okay.
I feel your pain right now, Chris Rosen.
No.
No, it's a great show.
Who is that who just said, I don't see faces, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you don't see much either. I know you
I
haven't
see
seen.
You.
I know you haven't seen faces. That's just another
Cassavetes. John Cassavetes, good
right.
Lord.
Right, there you go.
I
have laid down the gauntlet.
I will tell you one second.
I am attempting to retain my integrity and still allow you this opportunity to come on and...
Let me just say,
senior
I got one
movie
thing.
Editor of whatever.
Let me, movieline.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at 42-inch TV. I will say one thing. Last week, many people, or not many people, there's at least one person who I'm not sure who it is. I apologize because I try to @reply all the people who reply me. But there was one person who is very upset that I misspoke and said Nick Cassavetes and John Cassavetes a couple weeks ago. I think that was 2 weeks ago after.
Yeah,
because you
me.
On
I was one of them. All right, so Chris,
but who cares?
You can next week. I hope that you've watched the Battlestar Galactica thing because it's going to be sad if you haven't. It's going to be sad.
Well, I think we can make that happen.
All right. Well,
anyway,
Chris, thank you for your recommendations this week. The Ceremony, and then Woody Allen.
I said
wow.
Two Woody Allen
wow.
ones. I suggested Hannah and Her Sisters.
And
Crimes and Misdemeanors.
The
I would
only
say
way
two.
You could have talked saying Woody Allen as a suggestion would be movies.
Movies now more than ever.
What
Sam.
Is your?
Somebody got that reference, and they're like, "Oh, Chris is not a fucking idiot."
That's me, Chris. With you all the way.
All right, Chris. We'll see you next week, baby.
Cylons.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to play this week's Weekend Roundup from Jimmy Reefer Cake. and the Screaming Majority. Three entries this week. And then we will go to the post show. Be right back. We are back. All right. So let's do this, and then we'll go to the post show. First up, we have Jimmy Reefer Cake singing about Medicare. This is clip number 3.
Sorry, my friends, but we're all getting old. It's gonna get worse than just the common cold. Comes to a point when there ain't no curing and there ain't no money to be made by insuring. But in the USA, we got Medicare. It's the only insurance that would ever dare to insure an old lady or insure an old man. They just can't do what Medicare can. They might sell old folks a supplemental plan, but I'll tell you something fundamental, man. Profit is the motive, so ain't it funny? Insuring healthy people is the way to make money. Well, look now, here comes the Ryan plan, putting all that faith in the invisible hand. You can tell Paul Ryan he can keep his plan. It just can't do what Medicare can.
Yeehaw! That was very well done. I thought it was a good song. And I love the fact that it was very wonkish for Jimmy Reefer Cook. Very wonkish.
Female duet.
Yeah, that was very sweet. Had had a very throwback feel. Very granny, I thought. Now, let's play the Screamin' Majority. You may remember them from last week. Wait, was it last week or the week before?
No, it was
week before.
Week before.
2 weeks ago.
And 2 weeks ago they had that orange. Was it?
Yeah.
Orange, you glad you're orange.
There you go. So here, this song is entitled. What's it entitled? Do we know?
Your Debt to Me.
Your Debt to Me. Here we go. Screamin' Majority. That's my favorite part of the song, that last. How's the negotiation going, Joe Biden? That is Dave Benjoya and Dan Killian. That's right, the Screaming Majority. Both songs this week, awesome.
Yeah.
and awesome. We got to put out an album, man. We had a whole year's worth of news we'll do at one point. And Jimmy Reefcake could not help himself. Had to address, you knew he had to, ladies and gentlemen. He did a bonus song. Excuse me, a bonus song. Of course, had to happen. This is the second entry from Jimmy Reefcake.
Hold on here. Time out, time out.
What? What's the matter?
It's like the Fire Sign Theater.
Why are we singing folk songs about Medicare? Some dude put his package on Twitter.
Dude, Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Penises are important. His name's Weiner, for Christ's sakes.
Dude, it's just another distraction. What's that going to do for Granny? What's the matter with you, man?
All I know is somebody put a picture of a penis on the internet, and we need to sing about it. Come on, man. You used to be greasy.
Oh, come on, man. Fuck it. Do it.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Could it be? Could it be? There's a chance he has a penis in his pants. Wow! Stocks plunged today after Republicans broadcast their intention to either sabotage the economy with savage spending cuts or sabotage the economy by refusing to pay America's bills. Hey, ooh. But I heard on CNN that he sent it to his friend. Oh, there's a chance he has a penis in his pants. There's a chance he has a penis in his pants. Radioactive soil in pockets of areas near Japan's crippled nuclear plant have reached the same level as Chernobyl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Could it be? Could it be? There's a chance he has a penis in his pants. Oh, and it makes the fuckos dance. Oh, there's a penis in his pants.
Wow. It's sketchy.
I actually really like that one.
Well, there you go, folks.
I enjoyed that he made a serious song and then a comedic song. He didn't mix the two like he sometimes does.
Mm. I liked them both. I'm all about Jimmy Reefcake this week.
All right. Well, listen, now let's go to our post show. You can IM me at Majority FM. You can call in. Number 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. A couple more stories to get to. This one I wanted to... couple more stories we'll get to. Folks, have a great weekend. Don't forget to use that Amazon link if you buy crap on Amazon. You can buy it through our link at majority.fm. Support the show by doing virtually nothing that you wouldn't already do. In fact, one more link. You go in there and then you you bookmark it. You'll never have to do another thing ever again. Spread the word about the show, folks. You can donate your account at donateyouraccount.com/majority.fm. And, of course, justcoffee.coop. Get coffee, tea, and chocolate. All fair trade. 10% discount, coupon code MAJORITY. I am me at Majority FM right now, or call in 646-257-3920. We'll be giving you a bonus freebie Friday today. So if you're still listening to this and you're not a member, you're going to get a freebie today. All right, folks, it's the famous post show. Sam Stein reports in Huffington Post. The Obama administration received a stern letter from the American League of Lobbyists, firmly warning it to dispose of a draft executive order that would force federal contractors to disclose their donations. We've talked about this draft in the past. It would be an executive order basically saying that if you donate to a candidate, if you're a federal contractor, you cannot have secret donations to people. That's it. Somehow, these federal contractors think that, oh, well, if people know who we're donating to, it's going to taint the process. What? Excuse me? You think that people sitting on these committees are not aware that you're donating to them? Of course they are. They just don't want public disclosure. People receiving the money know where it's coming from. Otherwise, you'd have anybody could give them money. They know where the money's coming from. They just don't want it to be publicly disclosed. Quote, since your announcement to seek the presidency, you have consistently attacked the honorable profession of lobbying, the letter signed by the group's president, Howard Marlowe, read. Lobbyists play an important role in the legislative process, serving as educators to elected officials. It is in the best interest of government to have informed individuals who serve as experts in every arena of public policy. Our ability to access and navigate the legislative process and push issues forward through a bureaucratic cluster is a vital service to the nation. Thank you. The draft order would inhibit one of the most vital tools in the advocates' arsenal by creating fear of retribution for political donations. Anonymity when you pay off people is so vital. Making this kind of disclosure a part of the bidding process tarnishes a competition based on qualifications, adds an unneeded I don't even know where to begin with this. I'm not convinced that the Obama administration didn't write this letter themselves, fabricate it, pay them. Hey, could you knock us for being against lobbyists? Just crazy. Meanwhile, another listener, who I shan't name, sends me a map from gapminder.org. And it is one which shows income per capita in this country of different states and some key, I guess it's just... It does regions, but then it does like specific states or it does specific states. And there's one as you go through the years. OK, it's one of those animated graphs. As you go through the years, there's one. We're starting, I guess I'm trying to figure out the camera. But we're starting from here. Everybody starts here. This is where the cluster is. If you go up like this, it's just a number of people there as it grows. And then if you go this direction across laterally, it's how much income per person, inflation adjusted, grows. There's one little blip. Everything basically clusters around here and just grows like this, where the number of people increases, there's one blip that just sort of shoots out from the rest of the pack, where the income per person literally just pulls away as if everybody is, if it was a horse race, all the other horses would be dead, and one horse would be running, to where the income per person just sort of skyrockets. Can anybody guess? It's a trick question because it's states. But there's one place that's not a state.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. just explodes with wealth after 1970. Explodes. Just races away. And that's because of all the lobbying that's going on there. And all that money and that horrible corruption. And, of course, if there was any transparency in the process, that would be a problem. It would remove one of their key tools in their arsenal, as it were. Let's go to the phones, and it is Captain Kangaroo calling from Guantanamo Bay. Welcome to the program, Captain.
Hello, little children. I'm in charge of the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed child. Me and my friend Dr. Mengele here. Yeah, hello. I'm Dr. Mengele. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. Captain, you're very busy trying the prisoners that we're holding down in Guantanamo. Of course, they're in the extrajudicial hearings that you're holding.
We love it because you can arrest their attorneys if you want. Then I have Dr. Mengele interrogate my prisoners for me. It's really fun. Here, well, let's go look and listen to the trial, see what's going on.
Okay.
Hello, Dr. Mengele. Oh, they're having a little song there. Yeah, they're still having a fun time here. You should come down with us someday, Sam.
Well, I'm sure.
I love Hangover 2, by the way.
I'd love to come down to Guantanamo. I have every reason to believe I'll be down there eventually in an orange suit.
Okay.
All right, well, keep up the good work down there, guys.
Good night, Sam. Goodbye.
We all feel safer. We have a very strange audience. Josh Davis, 33, but I guess the point remains. The kangaroo trials down there, shocking. Oh, you know, let me just say this, and I'll talk about this on Monday. We got to get somebody on for this. Over the past couple of days, the International Energy Agency said that greenhouse gas emissions increased by a record amount last year. We're done for. Experts agree at this point that, we're going to see a two degree Celsius rise in the temperature in the coming 40, 50 years. And that is basically the tipping point. People find this very disturbing because there was a hope that the global recession would in some way slow down carbon emissions. It hasn't. So much of what we could be debating on this program every single day for an hour and a half, the hours in which I read to prepare, could all basically be for naught. I mean, that's why in this section of the show, I like to hear about how I can grow Jerusalem artichokes and teach my kid archery and how to shoot a 22 so that when the incredible strife that would come in the wake of such a crisis, there would be incredible migrations north. Dr. James Lovelock, the guy who found the hole in the ozone layer, says a good chance 80% of the world's population will be dead by the turn of the century, the next century. It's actually quite funny. He said, done a lot of reading on this guy. He was interviewed, and they said, you're considered quite a pessimist. He's a British. Oh, no. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with 1 billion people as opposed to 6 billion people. I didn't say humanity would end, just this civilization. I imagine it would get pretty ugly. I don't know where you apply to be one of those people who are taking over the border into Canada after we invade that country. But if anybody has a sense of how we get up there, much appreciated. Josh Davis, one of the factors that influenced my decision to become a member. There you go. It was once that I had tasted the fruits of the post show, I simply could not live without it and had to become a member. Maybe have a couple of days where the post show is free again to try and get those listeners hooked. Like how HBO sometimes has those free weeks. You must have them taste the fruits then. Taste the fruit.
Taste the fruits.
Well, people are tasting the fruit right now. We have taken your suggestion and running with it. Hi, Pop Phil. I am gay and will not watch Christy walk. Ew. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm just learning about, for those of you who are not familiar with the post show, those Rye Pop Phil, IMs me as I'm speaking in real time. Like that one was from 11:45. So I don't remember what I said an hour ago. Maybe it was maybe Chris Christie can't walk. And so Rye Pop Phil, and I begged him multiple times, please don't do that because I don't know what you're referring to. And he refuses to listen to me. I'm just learning about American Legislative Exchange Council that has 80 members of Congress as alumni, another effort to destroy the American working class, their education system funded by companies such as the Coke Industries, Farmer, Walmart, State Farm Insurance, AT&T. Could we send Chris Rosen as a special majority reporter to West Virginia to cover the Kennedy event? He will never make it home. I was really thinking about going down there for that march. Sometime next week, but with the Netroots Nation coming up, we get too much stuff to do before we go. Palin says Paul Revere warned the British. What? This is from Think Progress. He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he was riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be... Oh, my God.
Yeah, Sarah Palin turned Paul Revere's ride into a Second Amendment issue.
You read that the George Saunders piece, like, years ago in the New Yorker, the Shouts and Murmurs, where he wrote a thing completely in the voice of Palin, like these long-running sentences.
Yes.
When you speak her quotes, I can't think of anything but that.
Wait, is there sound to this? Oh, sweet God. Here it is. I got to play this. You ready?
It appears Sarah Palin may need to brush up on her American history. She visited the...
What? What? What?
Hey, what happened?
Sarah Palin may have to brush up on her American history.
Did you see her tweet from Wednesday where she said she was visiting the Statute of Liberty?
I give some birth on, like, typos because I can't even spell. I mean, our website says Westbite.
It's still funny coming from her, though. I'm sorry.
But this is too precious.
It appears Sarah Palin may need to brush up on her American history. She visited the Old North Church today here in Boston, the focal point of Paul Revere's historic ride. But it sounds like she got a bit confused on the details.
He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
I mean,
for the record, too, there was no bell ringing or anything like that. That's all part of, like, folklore. Like, Paul Revere's ride was silent.
He went straight to tell...
I believe John Adams that he was going to be arrested, right? That was it.
Right. Well, no,
folklore doesn't even have bells. It has candles in a bell tower.
He's going to ride to warn people and to corral them and tell them that the British are going to come and arrest them.
Yeah, the British is coming. That's even made up. That's not true.
She can't even get the kids' version right. Well, I mean, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. It doesn't matter. And she's not running. I mean, it's just, the only fallout from this should be that John McCain is not allowed to show his face in America, anywhere, in any context, without having the person sitting across from him going like, John McCain, thank you again for Sarah Palin. Let's get to the questions.
Didn't he recently say that he did feel she could be president? Like,
oh, he's horrible.
Recently.
He's what a just, yes. Well, when he ran for office. Loved all three songs, says Nefertiti, but I really did like the third song. He made the serious point of how ridiculous the news on TV is. Serious news going on. Yes, absolutely. Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, actually. Okay, and... There was more than just Paul Revere. He's just the most famous one. That's correct. There was a bunch of them.
I'm sorry. This past Sunday, John McCain was on Fox News and said that Sarah Palin could, of course, beat Barack Obama in 2012.
Well, that's different than saying that she's qualified. I will give him that. He's wrong. Of course she can't. But we will never know because he knows she's not running. She's not running. Go back to what Fox did with Santorum and what's his face? The serial adulterer, Gingrich. You know, you think they didn't have a conversation with Sarah Palin at the time? Are you going to run? No, I'm not going to run. Are you kidding? I'm getting too rich. I'm the dumbest person in America. If you take the graph of how dumb someone can be and talentless, you know, because there are stupid actors, there are stupid sports figures, there are stupid talk show hosts. But they get money because they have some form of talent. Or they're smart enough to not overreach. You know, you're not going to see really bad actors put themselves in a situation where it's clear that they're really bad actors, or into movies that the movie gets ruined if they're really bad actors. I think you're very hard pressed to find an intersection between someone who is so stupid, so talentless at anything they could possibly do, and has gotten rich off that. Literally. I don't know who that person would be. You know, Trump, huckster, but at least he's talented at sort of like marketing and ripping people off. Like, she's just a moron. She's just someone who like cashed in.
She's good at pretending she's one of us normal folk.
No, you know what? She very well may be one of them. Just sort of like. She is greedy, lacking integrity. I'd be surprised if there weren't at least 30% of the population in this country who aren't just like her, frankly. But she just happened to get lucky. I mean, she was attractive enough at some age to become mayor of Wasilla. Rev J, is Chris Rosen a member? Pun intended. The Rev J, my movie suggestion is to read Albert Brooks' new book, 2030. Just started it. Very funny. Oh, yeah. I should try and get Albert Brooks on the show. That would be great. Heathen Steven, keep the Rosen segment. 80,000 honeybees, mostly female, by the way. Can't be wrong. I watched, Heathen Steven, I watched your video that you posted. First of all, I can't remember the exchange between your wife and your kid, but it was great how like he just immediately just sort of snapped into line. I got to get that. What was it like she said? Like, she told him to do something. I don't know. It was like ask nicely or something. And he just did it second time around. I thought it was great. I'm going to go back and watch it for that. Never mind the bees thing, because I got news for you. I ain't going to get a box of 3 pounds of bees and bang 10,000 bees into any type of box. Not happening. Not happening. I could definitely build a top bar beehive, and I found a place where we can actually order the top bars, because those seem to be the most intricate part of it, for like 60 or 80 bucks. And maybe I can get somebody to dump the bees in. I ain't gonna do that. And if you want to see that, that video, go to Majority FM. We have like a whole now bee post, right, with all the links that Heathen Steven sent us. Did you post that? And a link to his actual video where you can see him doing it. It's pretty cool. Matthew Lawyer, I enjoy the Chris Rosen segment, if only for the train wreck aspect of it, sort of like Charles Grodin on Letterman. Indeed. Jerry from Westchester, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing?
Sam, how am I coming in?
You're coming in great.
Good, beautiful. I'm on. Okay, Sam. Two things. Maybe we should membership. Take a trip out to West Virginia. Maybe that we'll get that nice song ringing all the time. That would be great.
I mean, I'll tell you the movie clip I saw, and just, you know, whenever I talk to Bobby Kennedy about anything, I get so inspired. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I gotta look into it over the weekend. We'll see.
Might be interesting. Sam, one other point. I had a friend who I used to work for this man, and he was very wealthy. And he used to tell me, you know, he knew I was very liberal ideas and everything. And he used to tell me one thing. He wouldn't argue with me about anything. All he would say was this: Jerry, money talks, bullshit walks. And you know, Sam, he's right.
Well, I mean,
we have to figure out a
way. You're right.
We have to figure out a way to make money to help solve poverty in this country and to promote justice.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with you, but you know, at the end of the day, there is one other thing. You know, there is a third option. It doesn't just have to be money or bullshit. It can also be the threat of disrupting the system. And because in that in some respects, you're talking about money in that instance, not so much the raising of money, but the denying of a system that works. Now, I don't know. I think, you know, at the very least, we're watching, you know, some positive things with Medicare, because there's a clear, unambiguous message from 70% of the American public that they don't want Medicare messed with. I don't know. The next year is going to be very interesting, Jerry, because I think our economy is headed back down south. I don't think it ever got too north, frankly, but we're headed in the wrong direction. And we haven't even seen the bulk of the austerity that's coming down the road. So I get what you're saying, but, you know, people are trying to raise that money, and we got to figure out another way, because at the end of the day, there's a reason why right wing and moneyed establishment elitist policies are funded. It's because the people with the money want to pursue an agenda that will continually concentrate the wealth in their hands. And it's hard to get people to pay for something that will not do that. I got to get back to the IMs. We got to get going through this. Thank you for the call, Jerry. Is it just me, Defeatocrat, or is the Chris Rosen segment rapidly devolving from good-natured ribbing into something more contentious? Not sure this relationship can be saved. No, I like Chris. I said this a couple weeks ago. He's like my little brother in some not good ways. You know, people don't realize, like, how much my mood, how much the show is a function of my mood, which is a function of the news I'm reading over the course of the day, and then also the tech problems I had. Like, I spent 2 hours trying to fill up, for $60, our Skype credits so that we could do the phone system today. And for some reason, I spoke to three different, it was the hardest thing in the world. It would have been easier for me to actually walk to wherever Skype is in the world and hand them $60 in $1 bills. Next, it gets me very agitated. And then it's like, sort of like bleeds into like, ah, fucking unemployment rate. And Skype and PayPal. Trip, Rosen with a salty language. What's up, Tiger Lily? Was a Woody fave. There you go. This is a thing, you know, like Woody Allen. It's just lazy. Jay Shivon, too bad Kevorkian died. He was probably the only person who could have put the Rosen bit out of its misery. Moshi Moshi. Um 15 minutes of you and Rosen arguing if he should keep his gig and 1 minute of movie reviews. That's the way I like it. You should do the same proportion every week. Christy can't walk to the chopper because he's dripping sweat would burn the grass. The Web Slinger. I heard Citizen Kane getting some buzz, Sam. You should check it out. I like the second Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Catchy. 767654. I just signed up as a sponsor. I assume he means member. Glad to see you bringing back the goodness from the Air America days. By the way, what the hell happened between you and Marin? I tweeted him yesterday, and he never responded. Marin was on the best show on FMU Tuesday night. On that day, coincidentally, somebody had written a piece suggesting possible replacements for Ed Schultz. You know, one of those sort of stupid media pieces that are irrelevant because Ed has his job and whatever. You know, half of them were joke ones anyways. The first one was Sam Cedar and Mark Maron. And the guy said either one of them could do it on their own, but it would be great to have them together. And so I called into Sharpling's show and just to see if I could get a rise out of Maron. Basically, I accused him of having publicity people insert his name into that mention, sort of bigfooting me, you know, in an area that he doesn't care about politics. And I kept trying to get him to get angry. And I succeeded in just like one... Like, for 1 minute, like, he was on his game. He was like, well, Sam, obviously I didn't do that. But at one point, he goes, you're so irritating. That's all you can, you know, like, he lost it for a second. So I felt pretty good about that. 819-309, Bradley Manning rally happening this Saturday in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Check it out. B-Wolf 180. Hey, Sam, thanks for talking about Eric Cantor last week. John Stewart did a great piece on it last night. Virginia can go blue. We voted for Obama in 08. We'll do it again in 2012. People in his district are still mad about his comments. College kid who went to high school down the street from Cantor's house died in the Alabama storms. Wow. This makes me sick. Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning. I mean, it's stunning. It's just a very fucked up time right now. And I don't know if it's going to get better. Kevin Semicolon, thanks for using my Battlestar Galactica idea. There it was. It was Kevin Semicolon who suggested we force Chris Rosen to watch Battlestar Galactica.
I think we need to come up with some good comprehension questions.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. He's just reading like whatever it says on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
I really hope he liked it, but a tiny part of me wants him to suffer for 3 hours. Matamashi, I hadn't heard the Rosen segment before. I would say his picks were decent yet lazy. Yes, exactly. Of course, those were probably the best picks he ever made. Also, I loved Battlestar Galactica until they landed on New Caprica and then found it almost unwatchable.
Oh, I loved that part.
Oh. You got to go back, dude. Look, there was a point where... it got a little bit, like season three and two gets a little bit sort of melodramatic where it gets about like the romance. And then like in season three towards the end, they're like, hey, shit, how are we going to make this last four seasons? We already know where we're going. So they do these like tangential things.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, I liked it the first time I watched it. You know, I'm going round two now. And we're now at the point where, Adama basically says to Kara, go find Earth. I believe you. I'm not going to get into it too deeply. And you could almost skip to, like, the last episode of season three or the first episode. I think it's the last episode of season three, first episode of season four. And it just gets that, like, intense. It's so good.
You could just skip the whole thing.
What are you talking about? Speaking of Albert Brooks, have you seen Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World? I was very entertained. It's on Netflix streaming. No, I haven't seen it. That's exactly the type of movie I would like to see that I probably thought at the time I want to go see this, and I didn't get a chance to see it. And if Chris Rosen could do his job, then I would know about it, and I would do it.
Does Norsi know, by the way, that when you were looking for somebody to replace Dorsey, that you were actively entertaining the idea of people who disagreed on almost all political standpoints, but never once did you say what I want is somebody who doesn't like Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, I mean, I interviewed I can't remember how old she was. Her name was Beth, 22, 3, 4, I mean, someone your age. It's relevant only in terms of her age because when she was 18, she used to listen to the Majority Report with her mom. Mom's a big lefty. She was a lefty. She's sort of turned into this sort of right-wing, almost like a commentator. And I thought, that could be interesting. Never asked her about Battlestar Galactica. I mean, I don't care in the sense that you don't like it, other than it speaks volumes. That's the only problem. Cool J 146, global warming. Have you read Chris Hedges' latest piece? Very interesting. Lots of info I've never heard about how the world is heating up. I will check it out. Tapes. Hey, do you have like 2 or 3 seconds of silence before your shofar sample? Can't you edit that out? Yes, I can. It's just another thing on the list of things to do. Torsi 80. Did you see this article today? Hospitals and doctors are pushing back against the Obama administration initiative that urges them to create new organizations to coordinate the care of groups of Medicare. I will check into that story. Sammy Kammer, who did and did not get dismissed by Fox News? Do you think Fox asked each celebrity if she intends to run, or do they simply select the GOP candidates as employee assignments? Yeah. No, I think they asked. I think, frankly, so it was, you know, Gingrich and the fetus barrier, man on dog, Santorum, got dismissed. Ah, okay. I'll check it out. I don't go there that much. Nefer, here is the recommendation to watch. AMC On Demand, The Killing. It's in its first season now. All shows are amazingly well-done drama based on a Dutch original, dark but worthwhile. I will check it out. All right, folks. Wow. If you're a freeloader, you got a long show. Extra bonus, extra time. It's Freebie Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, next week on the program, Sarah Vowell will be joining us. I'm not sure who else, but we'll find out. Krista Freeland will play that on Friday. Friday will probably be a tech day. We got to check on things to make sure that we're set to do the Hartman show the week after. Got to set to make sure that we've got our Hackintosh ready.
I'm working on it. It's really hard to circumvent tons and tons and tons and tons of copyright protection.
That was, of course, said in jest. That was not meant to be a truthful statement.
No, it was not.
All right, folks. See you next week. Don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my we'll be right back.
shifted in an